إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My brothers, I want to remind myself and you of one of the, if not the core principle of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was the pursuit of excellence. In the famous Hadith Jibreel, the narration with regard to Al-Ihsan, which we generally translate as excellence, is that when Jibreel alayhi salam asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to describe Ihsan, he said, "What is Ihsan?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this amazing statement where he said, "Anta'budallaha ka'annaka tara fa illam takun tara fa innahu yarak." He said Ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see him, and if you cannot see him, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. Now, if we just reflect on this statement, this is one of the many problems with our learning and teaching, is we are content with the words. We don't encourage or ask or require reflection on those words. So we will have a session in which we will teach 20 ahadith. Whereas with the Sahaba, they took one. And they spent a month reflecting on it. I'm not saying month as a specific time, but I'm saying they spent a lot of time reflecting on it. If you just think about this hadith, or this part of a hadith actually, to worship Allah as if you can see Allah. And think about it. What would be the state of our salah if we could actually see ourselves standing in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah is on the arsh? We don't have to imagine what Allah looks like, obviously. But I'm saying that, just think about it, what would that be? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even let you and me stay there. He said, "You can't see Allah, that is true. But you know that Allah is seeing you." Now, if I know that Allah is seeing me, and again, I'm differentiating the two words. I believe that Allah is seeing me. And I know that Allah is seeing me. There is a level of magnitude between the two. I believe Allah can see me, or Allah is seeing me, is something which is a matter of belief. Maybe it is right, maybe it is wrong, maybe it is blind belief I have, and so on and so forth. So it can be, there can be many things to do with this belief. But if I say I know, then there is not a question of belief. I know. So it's not a matter of saying for example, if you are sitting in a closed room, and the room has lights and so on, and you look at the clock and you say, "Well, 9 o'clock. I think it is dark outside. I believe it is dark outside. I believe it is night." But you haven't actually seen night. But if you walk out into the darkness, then you know it is night. There is no, not a matter of belief. You know that it is night. So there's no doubt in that. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Know that Allah is seeing you." He is seeing you. You know this. Not that it's not, you're not believing. You know Allah is seeing you. And I'm saying, if we reflect on this, and that is what I mean by excellence, is I remind myself and you, that if we can reflect on this and we say that, what is it that allows wasawis to come in our salah? What is it that allows us to go here and there? Because we don't focus on this. We are satisfied with less. We are satisfied with less. The enemy of excellence is not failure. The enemy of excellence is mediocrity. Why am I saying it's not failure? Because failure produces pain. Nobody likes pain. Even if you are in pain, it's because you can't help it. You don't know how to get out of it. You don't have a remedy for it. You don't like it. But mediocrity is failure with a sugar coating. You are satisfied with mediocrity. And that's why it is the opposite of excellence. Mediocrity is real failure. Because failure ensures that one day or the other, as long as you have got life in you, you will get out of that failure. Because it is painful and you will do something to get out of that painful situation. But mediocrity, you will be satisfied with it. You get used to it. And that is why, according to me, the cancer of attitude, the cancer of the body is actual cancer. The cancer of attitude is also a C word. And that word is compromise. Compromise is to attitude what cancer is to the body. It is from the body, so the body doesn't fight it. I mean, we have, for example, when cancer cells are there in everybody's body, when the cancer cells start working, the WBCs, the body's immune system, does not fight the cancer. Because it sees the cancer as part of the body. It's not a foreign thing which is coming in, which needs to be fought. So the body does not cure cancer. The body will allow the cancer to happen. Whereas if you get a cold, the body fights against it. If you get something else, the body fights against it. But cancer, body does not fight against it. It allows it to. That's why you need to have all these terrible treatments, which are generally, you know, very painful and horrific. May Allah protect us from all of these kinds of things, inshallah. Compromise is to attitude what cancer is to the body. It is from the same thing, and therefore the body doesn't fight it. And that's why compromise is from attitude, therefore attitude doesn't change. And that's why compromise is like a cancer to attitude. It allows you to be happy with mediocrity. That dissatisfaction, you start off with excellence, and then when the standard falls, there is a period, everybody goes through that period, you are dissatisfied. You are moaning and groaning against it, you are angry about it, you say, why is this, I cannot accept it, and so on. And then gradually this compromise comes, and you will of course have all kinds of advisors. They say, nahi nahi, ye Hindustan hai mere bhai. Yeah? These things happen, this is our country, you know, this is how we work. Indian standard time, Arab time, Muslim time, just to give you one example of cancer, of attitude, with regard to punctuality, for example. So all kinds of things. We enter the masjid, we throw shoes anywhere. So initially you get angry about it, you get upset about it, you know, you take the trouble to put somebody else's shoes in the rack, and other fellow says, Alhamdulillah, now I don't have to do it. The Shaykh does it, Alhamdulillah, that's good. You know, let him do it. My shoes have been elevated in status. And then gradually you get used to it. You say, chala, hota theek hai, it was okay. That is the biggest problem. That compromise is the cancer. And that is what creates mediocrity. And mediocrity is death. Mediocrity is destruction. Mediocrity is absolutely... It's worse than cancer, because it ensures that your present and your future both are gone. And that's why I remind myself and you about the attitude of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many, many, many incidents in the seerah where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only could have compromised, but people advised him to compromise. But he said no. This is what the religion is. And we will not compromise. If somebody does not come into the religion for this reason, no problem. That's a choice they are making. That's why even in a small thing, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not tell a lie even as a joke. Now think about this. You know it is joking, it's, you know, you make some fun, you have some fun, you laugh. He said, do not tell a lie even as a joke. That's where is the compromise? There's no compromise. This is the excellence, that's the standard he's setting. Don't tell lies, period. Finished. No matter what the situation. Even as a joke, do not tell a lie. Worship Allah as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I remind myself and you, a lot of people come, many people come, and young people and others come and ask me, you know, what life goal planning and so on and so forth. Number one rule, never compromise. Set your standard and stick to the standard. Take joy in the effort. Don't worry about reaching that. You will reach. If it is destined for you to reach, you reach, inshallah. But never settle for second best. You remember the name of the man who climbed Mount Everest the first time. Many people climbed after that. Do you remember the name of the man who climbed the second time? Even though he made the same effort, it's not as if the guy who climbed Mount Everest the second time didn't drop there from a helicopter. No, he also climbed. He also made the same effort. But you remember the one who climbed that mountain for the first time, not the one who went there second time. And that is the reality of life. I'm not saying work so that people remember you, let people forget you, that's good. But it's worth doing only if it is done to a level of excellence. Otherwise, if you are going to be second best, if you are going to be mediocre, if you are going to be also ran. And final point I want to make before I close this one is that do not be under any mistaken impression that lower quality work is somehow cheaper than top quality work. This is purely from shaitan. From shaitan and from completely ignorant people. People who have absolutely zero sense. Because they will tell you, no, this quality costs too much. Let's go down on the quality. Believe me, I'm not even talking religion here. I'm talking about top class, world class business organizations. Why do you think an organization like GE set aside $500 million to put in Six Sigma quality standards from 1995 to 2000? I was part of that effort. $500 million, $100 million per year was set aside as expenses to train people in Six Sigma quality. 3.4 mistakes per million. Why? They are not fools. They are not fools. They have got a billion times more sense than anyone who advises compromise. Believe me. People like that don't run the world because they are fools. They do that because they understand one thing very, very clearly, and that is top quality gives the maximum return. And it is the cheapest. It is not the most expensive. It is the cheapest. If you look at the life cycle of the thing that you are doing, to start and stay at top quality is the most economical way of doing it. Lower quality is extremely expensive. Extremely expensive. Lower quality is not cheap. Lower quality is the worst. It is the most expensive. And it is cancer because you can't see it. On the face of it, it looks as if it is cheap. It's not cheap. It is the most expensive. Why excellence? Because excellence gives you the maximum results at the best cost. Absolutely the best cost. Because if the cost is high, it is not excellence. Therefore, you will come to that. Excellence is that which gives you the highest possible result at the lowest possible cost. And that's why in GE, very interestingly, in GE, in their financial accounting, they do not even use the term fixed cost, which is standard accounting parlance, fixed cost and variable cost. In GE, they do not use the term fixed cost because they say no cost is fixed. Every cost can be reduced. So even the language they don't have, they say this is the cost today. It's not a fixed cost. Every cost can be reduced. without compromise, we don't even have to say that, without compromising quality. I mean, that's like saying, eat food without killing yourself. I mean, that's nonsense. If you're going to eat food and kill yourself, what sense does it make? So you don't have to say something stupid like that. You know, without compromising quality is a very stupid statement. You don't even need to say that. Anyone with intelligence need not say that. So, excellence, because it gives the maximum return, because it is the cheapest. And as I said, the opposite of excellence is not failure, it is mediocrity. Compromise, good enough. Good enough never is. Good enough is never good enough. And that's why I take the lesson from the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Rasulullah never settled for good enough. He never settled for compromise. He always aimed for the best. No matter what it cost, because that cost is the cheapest to get that best. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be focused and to focus for the best and to understand that if you work for it, you get it. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dunya, the law of cause and effect. If we work for it, we get it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.